You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Welcome to the Best Practices Show podcast. My name is Kirk Barrett, where I take you through the best practices from the very best dental practices all over the country. And man, do I have a treat for you today. So if you've been listening carefully, you know that we've had this brilliant woman on, and her name is Dr. Anne-Marie Gorsica, and she's going to be taking us through something else that dentists don't often do well. And so the title of this podcast is No One Is Above the Law, the things you have to know about HR that you probably don't know. So you do not want to miss this. Do me a favor. Make sure you stick around for this, because these are some very important details you have to know. So a couple show notes. I always like to introduce people that are showing up for the first time. So if you're a young dentist and you're here for the first time, I want to say a couple things. Number one, welcome. We're so excited to have you here. Number two, if you're wondering what the heck is this podcast, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go down to that little button. If you see it, if you're listening on Stitcher or iTunes or Spotify, whatever you're listening to, do me a favor. Just hit that subscribe button. See that? Click it, because what you're going to do is you're going to show up with us every single week, because you're going to see every single week, I'm going to bring you a brand new expert in dentistry and give you some things to think about so you can create a better practice and a better life. And I don't want you to miss out. So make sure you hit the subscribe button. Number two, people always ask, what the heck do you guys do? We're practice coaches. We love the education piece. And if you joined us for the COVID conference, over 38,000 of you did. We love the education piece, but what we're really good at is we're practice coaches. So here's what we do. If you're a practice owner and you're thinking, gosh, I think I could work a better schedule and not work evenings so much, call us. That's what we do. Or if you're thinking, I don't want to write all this dentistry off and work for the PPOs for the rest of my career, that's what we do. So give us a call. Or if you're just thinking, I want to improve the conditions for my team and just make sure that they enjoy going to work, and I enjoy going to work too, that's what we do. So check out actdental.com, where we've got great resources. I have a team of coaches, and you can check all that out there. We also have ActDental U, which is an amazing resource of online education. And we're always here to help you create a better practice and a better life. And speaking of a great practice and a great life, Anne-Marie, I'm just going to come out there and visit you one of these days, because every time I see you, number one, you're having a good time. Number two, you just don't look stressed ever. Like you've got your husband helping you out with IT. You're doing fun stuff, not only in your practice, but you're also helping this great state of California actually get those dentists organized out there. Now, I know who you are. A lot of people listening to the podcast know who you are. But if somebody's listening for the first time and they don't know who you are, who's Dr. Anne-Marie Gorsica?
Well, thank you, Kirk. It's my pleasure to be here today. I am a practicing orthodontist in Antioch, California. I've been in practice for 31 years. And I also have a master's degree in public health, in health management and policy, from the Harvard School of Public Health. And I think that was probably the foundation that really always sparked my interest, deep passion for dental practice management, because there's a lot of information that dentists need to know in the efficient business management of their practice. Today's talk about HR management, this is probably the most important topic that a dentist business owner needs to know about to run a successful business. Not only is your team essential, but as your title of the show describes, no one is above the law. And it is essential that every dentist know the HR laws. Now, Fortune 500 companies have full-time attorneys to run their HR departments. And dentists in their private practice are held to the same law standards as Fortune 500 companies that have a full-time attorney running their HR. So that's how important it is. And dentists, every 2 years, at least in California, we have to take a 2-hour mandated course on California law. And I sat there for 31 years saying to myself, just give me the laws. Just give me a book and give me the laws. So a few years ago, back in 2015, I came out with my book, Beyond the Morning Huddle. And that book is my highest selling book. Even though HR is a topic that almost no dental conference wants a speaker on HR, in real life, it is probably the most important topic for dentists to learn about. HR has six functions. And let me just outline what the six functions are. The first function is recruitment of new team members. The second function is the onboarding process. The third function is the day-to-day HR management. The fourth function is distribution of resources. Fifth function is the laws that you need to follow. And the last function is termination, whether it be by natural retirement or layoff, or in the worst case scenario, a dismissal situation. But in those six functions of HR, dentists need to know how to do things right to avoid costly mistakes.
Right. Now, let me ask you this, and I certainly am not the kind of person that wants to create any fear, but dentists are like, they'll skip over this because I don't have the time to do this. And what it ends up being when they're negligent or unaware of some of these things, it becomes very costly. And you get to hear the unfortunate stories about these big mistakes that dentists often make. So this is a very, very important topic in dentistry, don't you think?
Yes, it is an essential topic. It's, you know, it's as important as maintaining your dental license. Wow. I always tell my team, think of it this way. If you want to speed on the highway at 90 miles an hour and break the law, you can do that and you will be fined and you will pay the ticket. But if you break the law in my dental practice, I will pay the ticket. So you don't have an option of breaking the law in my dental practice because I don't want to pay the ticket. I don't want to pay your speeding ticket for breaking the law. So that's why we review the laws and that's why we follow the laws.
Yeah, very well said. Very well said. What's one of the biggest fundamental mistakes dentists make when it comes to this component?
Well, there are many mistakes, but let's just start with area number one, the onboarding process, hiring a new team member for the very first time. Now, you are going to collect resumes, you're going to interview people. The thing that you need to look for is the recommendation from the previous employer, you're going to ask the all-important question, would you rehire this person? And you're going to wait to hear if you get an affirmative, enthusiastic yes. But if there's any hesitation, she was good at billing insurance, or you don't get a yes, that is a red flag.
Yes.
So that's step number one. Be very inquisitive when you look at resumes, call for references, verify employment, verify the previous position. There are plenty of people, for example, who never were a dental office manager, but they will put on their resume that they are a dental office manager. Now, if you don't call that previous employer and say, what function did she do in the office? And they say, she was a receptionist. Well, there's a huge difference between a receptionist and a dental office manager.
Right.
And also right. You need to check on licenses. You know, someone can put on their resume that they are a registered dental assistant, and you can go on the California website to verify that they are a registered dental assistant, and maybe their license is not active, right, or maybe they've lost their license. So yeah, you need to verify.
You need to verify everything. I totally agree. This is just a weird game now more than ever. And one of the things we do now is we never take the phone numbers that people give us. We find individually these people that they're using as references or former employers, and just finding them, because if they're reputable, and I'm actually not looking for the yes, I would rehire. I'm looking for the hell yes, I would rehire type of a thing.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that. That let's say they work at such and such dental office. Go online, look up the dental office, call the main number. Right. Because the number that they put on the resume could be their cousin, their mother, their best friend. It might not be the dental office. So also you need to verify dates of employment, because there may be holes in the resume where they'll put down that they worked in one dental office for 10 years, but actually maybe they just worked there for 2 years or 3 years. So you need to verify the dates of employment. Now, when you interview the candidate, you need to be aware that questions unrelated to the job are illegal. There are many illegal questions you cannot ask. For example, are you married? Do you have kids? Where do you live? All of these personal questions are illegal. So be very careful to ask questions pertaining to the job and pertaining to past job experiences. In the state of California, we can't even ask, have you ever been in prison? That's an illegal question.
It is?
Yes, it is.
But you could probably verify that information, couldn't you?
Well, you can ask after you have given them the job offer. You can ask, or you in California, you cannot ask, are you a U.S. citizen? You cannot ask that before offering them a job. Once you have offered them the job, then you can ask, can you verify citizenship? So California is a very difficult state to be an employer in.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
Well, that's why we're extra grateful to have you on here, because not only are you brilliant, but you also practice in the toughest state. And there are some very specific nuances. Now, let's go back to this. The reason you want to onboard correctly is, are you just thinking we want to filter the crazy people out of this so we can stay away from some of those challenges later? Or is it just part of a due diligence type of a thing that reduces the likelihood of HR challenges? I'm just so curious what you're thinking.
You're trying to avoid problems. You're trying to avoid problems. You're trying to eliminate the liars, the cheaters, the embezzlers, all the dysfunctional behaviors that you do not want to deal with in the future, you are trying to eliminate during the interview process.
Yeah, that's...
And that's why you go hire slow, fire fast. Right. Hire slow. Now, in my book, I list a 13-step hiring process, which begins with the resumes, goes on to the initial phone call, goes to the first meet and greet, what is your first impression? And then you're going to go for the working interview. You're going to actually verify, can this person do the job? And if they come for a one-day working interview and they seem to do well, have your team take the new hire out to lunch to see what they think without the doctor there. Mm-hmm. And then have a team meeting and say, what do you think of this individual? You think that they would be a fit for our team? Right. If they say yes, do a second day of assessment. You know, have them back a second time.
Right. Give us the legality around, you know, the working interview. So how do you preface that when they come to work in your office? What can I do and what can I do with a working interview?
Well, it's a little difficult if you're going to have them work on patients, because obviously you don't want them to do anything where, heaven forbid, they might hurt a patient. So if you verify that they have their license, whatever job you're interviewing them for, let's say I'm interviewing an RDA. Well, I would probably have her come in, show her how to put the ligature ties on, even if it's on a typodont. If they've never done orthodontics before, show them on the typodont, have them do a little sterilization, you know. And I write in my book, and I kind of like this test, you know, the person comes, they put on, they come dressed, you take a look at how professionally do they act. And I have this little test I call the cotton roll test. And I have my potential hire there, and I'm working on a patient. They're standing maybe behind me, and I just accidentally drop a cotton roll on the floor. And I just wait to see what's going to happen. And what I want to see is that person going to take the initiative to pick up that cotton roll, go throw it in the garbage, change their take off their gloves, wash their hands, and put on a new pair of gloves?
Wow.
I mean, it's a simple test, but it shows a little bit, is the person paying attention? Are they taking initiative? How are they going to behave when they're in my office?
Right.
And I got that idea from Bruce Tolgan. Bruce Tolgan wrote the foreword to this book, Beyond the Morning Huddle. And Bruce Tolgan wrote a very good book called It's Okay to Be the Boss. And in his book, he described how people interviewing for a restaurant position would do something very similar. They would drop a piece of lettuce on the floor. Let's say there's like a salad bar or something, and they're interviewing a new hire. They're doing a working interview, and they want to see, does that person have enough common sense to pick up that piece of lettuce on the floor, or do they just walk past it and just leave it there? Mm-hmm. And that is just a very simple test of initiative.
I love that. You can see their attention to detail. You can see how much they care and something simple like that.
Now, when you finally do all the reference checks, verify the license, I like to have a unanimous decision by the team that we're going to hire this team member. Because when you have a unanimous decision, everyone is committed to making that new team member a success.
Yeah.
And no one can go back and say, well, I didn't really think she was good from the beginning. No, we asked everyone. Everyone was in agreement. And it is our job to make this new person a success in our office. So next, you know, comes the job offer. And then finally, you have the new hire. Now, when you have the new hire, the 90-day introductory period is critical. Because if for some reason this person does not work out, If they are dismissed within the 90-day introductory period, you don't pay any unemployment. So if you're going to make a decision not to keep the person on, it's best that you make that decision quickly and you make it within the first 90 days. And I tell a story in my book of a receptionist I hired once. She was actually the friend of someone else working in my office. And she was recommended by someone in my office. And she came to the front desk. We interviewed her. She came to the front desk and it came time for her to answer the phone. And the phone rang and she didn't do such a great job answering the phone. So we trained her. We told her what we wanted her to say. And we tried again. And she went to answer the phone again. And it didn't go so well again. And it was that way the whole first day. She really did not do a good job. So she went home and we sort of had a little meeting about it. And the excuses flew right and left. You know, maybe she was nervous, maybe whatever. We didn't give enough training. So the next day we went over it again. And we went over the training again. And the second day, answering the phone was not good. Now, you know, how difficult is it to answer the phone? It's not difficult. Mm-hmm. And we made a decision on that second day. We're sorry, your talents are not for this position. So we've decided we're not going to keep you in this job. So thank you very much. Here is your final paycheck. Thank you. No. Make the decision fast.
Because it never gets any better, right?
You're not going to get better. Not everyone is trainable. And I see dentists in dental chat rooms and they're saying, when is she going to learn? When is she going to learn? It's been 6 months. You know, if you show someone something once, you show them it twice, you show them it three times, if they can't pick it up or make improvement by the third time, then I would say this person is not trainable.
Right.
And that's right. What great HR managers know. They know that not everyone has unlimited potential.
Right.
Not now, everyone is trainable.
I agree. So, I agree. Now, you mentioned termination, and I would imagine we're going to get there, but what are some do's and don'ts that we need to know about termination, or am I jumping ahead yet?
Well, we can jump ahead. We can jump ahead. So that, I would say, is the final step of HR, is the final goodbye, right? And it can be natural or unnatural. Natural would be you retire, right? Unnatural would be someone in a fit of emotional lack of emotional intelligence proclaiming, I quit, right? What do you do when someone, whatever, for whatever reason, says, I quit? Mm-hmm. You've calmly say, if you feel that that's a good move for that employee, okay, if that's your decision, could you please write on this piece of paper, I quit? Could you date it? And could you sign it? And we will get your final paycheck ready and we will get your final vacation paycheck ready. Now, let's say the person in a fit of emotional outburst storms out of the office, says, I quit, and storms out of the office. Well, then you can have a witness write on a piece of paper, so-and-so stormed out of the office, said I quit, and you can have the witness date it, sign it, and then you could register mail the final paycheck and the final vacation paycheck. Or if the person's just having a bad day, let's just say they're a good employee, and for whatever reason, who knows what's going on at home or whatever. You could say, you know what? You're having a bad day today. Why don't you go home, think it over, and come in tomorrow morning and give me your final decision? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, everyone, you know, you don't know what's going on in that person's life. They might be having some family problems or medical problems or childcare problems. I mean, you just don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Now, what happens when you, as the employer, are like, this just isn't working out, and you have to sit down with the employee and let them go? Do you make it a simple thing? You know, because you
no one should be surprised,
right,
if they are terminated. Because number one, you need to have annual reviews. And if there are areas of improvement that need to be made, the person should know what the areas of improvement are. So let's say you have someone beyond the 90 days and they're really not performing to your expectations. Or let's say there's some conflict in teamwork. Well, first thing, you're going to give a verbal warning. You're going to bring them into the office and say, you know, I can't have you doing that in the office. It's whatever, it's unprofessional, or I can't have you absent so frequently, whatever the problem is. You talk to them first and you write it down, you document it. Now, the second time they do it, you sit down with them again. You write it on a piece of paper. I've spoken to you about this. I'm telling you for the second time, I can't have you doing this behavior. The next time you do this, I'm going to need to let you go. So they have a warning. And you could even say, I'm going to give you 30 days to improve. If you don't improve in 30 days, I'm going to have to let you go.
Yeah.
So it should not come as a surprise.
Yeah. And the person that wrote the foreword in your book, Gino Wickman, says, you know, you have a 3-strike rule. You basically, he said the same thing, never a surprise. Sit down with them. You give them 30 days to make the improvement. Then they don't make the improvement. You give them another 30 days. But he said, very rarely do you ever get to the 3rd strike, because by that time, they're aware, you're also aware, they're probably looking for another job. But you need to give the employee the opportunity to know what's missing,
right,
to improve.
And if you have a strong team, no one wants to disappoint the team. Right. The strongest motivator you have is peer pressure. At your weekly meeting, that everyone is part of the team, everyone's pitching in, and everyone's contributing. So if someone is not living up to their potential or up to the team standard, chances are they're going to resign.
Right.
And that's the best scenario. It's the win-win scenario.
Yeah.
Now let's go over 2 areas where people get in trouble. The area where people get in trouble is the I quit scenario. And let me give you an example that's from the book. And you notice that I always mention you're going to give them their final paycheck and you're going to give them a separate vacation paycheck. Okay. This might seem like a little thing, but it's a really important thing. And let me give you a case study. And this is a true story. And in my book, I give 52 case studies, and 50 of them are true to life case studies. 2 of them are fabricated. But this is a true-to-life story. So a dentist has a dental assistant. She's been with him for 26 years. And they get a new office manager. And the new office manager is very young. And that's also a problem, HR mistake number one, putting a very young, inexperienced person in charge of very much senior, tenured employees. So there was a dissatisfaction in the office management. And the tenured employee at her annual review was having a discussion with the doctor's wife, who pretty much served as the HR coordinator and a main manager in the office. And the doctor's wife and the senior employee got in a little tiff, and the doctor's wife said something to the effect of, well, if you don't cooperate with this young office manager, we're going to have to let you go. And the senior employee of 26 years said, well, why don't you just let me go right now? And then the doctor's wife, without any foresight or preparation whatsoever, just said, okay, that's fine. You're fired. Without even consulting her husband. So then the husband, the doctor, is called in and the wife says to the husband, I just fired so-and-so. And the doctor's like, oh boy, okay, let me get your final paycheck ready. So the doctor goes and he looks up her hours and he looks up her vacation and he just handwrites her a check for $3,000 even. And the team member goes home, and later that night, the doctor gets a phone call from her husband. And her husband says to the doctor, you did not give my wife her vacation paycheck. And the doctor says to the husband, oh, yes, I did. In fact, the amount I gave her, the even $3,000, was more than her paycheck and her vacation paycheck put together. I considered it like a severance package, so I actually paid her more than if I had figured out what her actual hours were and what her actual vacation pay was. Well, guess what? That doesn't hold up. So the husband and the 26-year employee say, no, I want my vacation paycheck, and I am going to bring you to court to get my vacation paycheck. Now, when you go to the EDD office to file for unemployment, if you're an employee, you are going to get an attorney for free. And in the state of California, they are more than happy to follow any lead you give them. So I actually had lunch with this doctor and he was telling me this scenario. And I told him, I said, just write her the vacation paycheck. I'm like, how much could the vacation paycheck be? Just figure it out and write her another check and give her the vacation paycheck. And the doctor's like, no, I will not do it. It's not right. I gave her more and whatever. Well, he ends up going to court. So can you imagine the time out of his office, the mental anguish? Maybe he even had to get an attorney. Who knows? The judge told him that he owed the assistant $6,000 penalty. And he had to write the assistant a $6,000 check.
Wow.
For not giving the separate vacation paycheck. Because that is the law. You have to show the hours, show the vacation pay. I actually have my team members sign a form, the final exit interview. I have been given my final paycheck, initial. I have been given my final vacation paycheck, initial. You know, it's very good to have an exit interview so that there's absolutely no misunderstanding whatsoever. The other thing that can happen is, let's say someone says, I quit. Well, if they quit, they cannot file for unemployment. They had a job and they chose to quit. So they cannot file for unemployment. And if they do, then you just send the sheet that they wrote on, I quit, with the date, and they signed it, and they will not get unemployment. And just because someone says, I quit, don't think that they won't file for unemployment. They will try to get unemployment.
That is so true. Yeah.
And every time you have an unemployment request within a one-year period, the more requests you have, the higher your fees go up for unemployment. So it costs the dental office. You don't want unemployment claims.
Very interesting. Wow. it's a lot to think about in this whole process. Yeah. That's why you got a system. You know, the exit interview is critical. You've got to check some boxes when people.
Yeah. Now, one of the main things is the team handbook, the team employment policy and procedure handbook. I write in my book, and I say at every lecture I ever give on this topic, working in an office without a team handbook is like living in a lawless land. You cannot enforce anything without a team handbook that the employee has read, that they understand it, they verify that they've read it, and they accept it. So when I hire a new team member in my office, the first hour of their employment, they actually go in the room by themselves and they read the team handbook for 1 hour. And then we discuss it if they have any questions, and then they sign that they have read the team handbook, and they sign, I understand what is written in the team handbook. And it is also your responsibility to update your team handbook every year and update the laws and go over it periodically so that the new laws are understood. Yeah, so let me give you a scenario of what could go wrong if you don't update your team handbook. And this is a true life case study of the EEOC. And that is the equal, well, I have to look this up for a second, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. And that federal agency, governs against discrimination. So this is a true life story that someone in the state of Michigan had a team handbook that was so old and hadn't been updated in several years that it actually had written in the team handbook that at age 65, you would need to retire, that their age limit for employment was age 65. Now, in the year 2021, this is totally illegal. That is something illegal written in the team handbook. It might have been legal in the year 1970, but in today's day and age, it is not legal. So they had a team member who turned 65, and they dismissed her. Well, she immediately went to the unemployment office. She said, I was dismissed because I'm 65. And they're like, well, that is totally illegal. So the EEOC, the federal government, sued this dental office. And the dental office was found guilty, and they had to give that dismissed team member
$37,000. Wow. So long story short, you've got to update that information.
It has to be accurate. It has to be accurate. And attorneys have told me, if you don't have a team handbook, which is current and updated and signed in hard copy, it's hard for them to defend you in court. Because that will come up. You don't even have a team handbook.
Yeah.
You have to have that.
It's crazy. It's crazy. What are some other considerations? You know, you and I have talked about this a lot, but I'm a big fan of the straight eight. And so today we're going to learn, you know, some ins and outs of the straight eight or the work schedule. Now, again, you practice in California, and there are certain laws you have to follow as an employer.
Well, in California, you cannot do the straight eight. I never even heard that phrase before, the straight eight.
Right.
In California, we have a mandatory lunch break by 5 hours. So what does that mean? At 4 hours and 59 minutes, you must take a half an hour lunch break or a break. Now, even if you have a lunch and learn and you are serving lunch and they are paid to eat lunch, you still have to take a half an hour break.
Now, is this only in California or is it,
it is not a federal, as far as I know, it is not a federal law, but some states have it, some states don't, but California definitely has it. And if you go on the internet in California, you will find attorney's office advertising like, have you not had your lunch break? I mean, they are looking for clients. So in my office, and in most dental, all dental offices, I would say, you have a choice. You can either work 4 hours and 59 minutes and take a mandatory half an hour break, or you can work a straight 6 hours, but you cannot go beyond 6 hours. So for example, Fridays, I work 8 to 1. Mm-hmm. So my employees work 5 hours. They have to be out by 2 o'clock.
Hmm. Yeah. Even if they want to, they can't stay.
Even if they want to work 8 hours, they can't. Because let me tell you what happens if you do work 8 hours. It becomes a payroll, overtime, HR nightmare. Okay, so let's say you don't obey the law, and now your employer is going to pay the penalty. So you miss your half an hour lunch break. So what is the penalty for that? You have to give the half an hour lunch break, plus the penalty is you have to give them another hour premium pay. That is the penalty.
Wow.
So now the person who is at 5 hours is actually at 6 hours because you have the 1 hour penalty. So now if they work another 3 hours, you're going to have overtime. So it ends up that the person actually works 8 hours and has 2 hours of overtime.
Wow.
But heaven forbid you break the law and somehow you get reported by some disgruntled employee. Well, then you're going to be audited and they're going to look at all your payroll records for the last 2 years. And, you know, if they find anything, maybe they're going to give you some type of fine. So you really don't want to mess around with this. And, you have to be very frank about this. You know, I had an HR specialist come into my office and just explain to my team, this is not up to Dr. Gorsica. This is the law. You cannot break the law.
Right.
And if you have employees that are consistently breaking the law, well, that's a liability. You have to get rid of that person.
Right. Well, let me ask you a question. Once you get beyond the 4 hours and 59 minutes and you're required to take the mandatory lunch, are there any limitations beyond that? You know, I had heard, now again, this is why I love having you on. Once you get to a certain point, you are required to offer a second lunch break. Is there any limitations beyond the 4 hours and 59 minutes? So I guess I'm just wondering, what does a dental team in the state of California do if they work 8 or 9 hours in a day?
Well, if you work 9 hours, you get 1 hour of overtime because, you know, on a normal schedule where you took your half an hour lunch break, if you should work 9 hours, you stay late, you get overtime. And overtime is the law. You must pay overtime.
Right. Now, I'm not recommending anyone work 9 hours, but I see crazy stuff all the time.
Well, I'll tell you one situation where I personally choose to work 9 hours and I choose to pay my assistant overtime. And that is if I'm doing an exam, it's the last exam of the day, it's 4:30. Both mom and dad took a day off of work and they want to get started. I would say to them, would you like to get started right now? They say, yes, we would like to get started right now. I would say to my RDA, can you stay late tonight 1 hour? Yes, I can stay late tonight 1 hour. Great. Let's do the records and let's put the braces on. And I am more than happy to pay my assistant 1 hour of overtime.
For sure. It's a great
because idea. That's fine. You know, you're productive, you're doing something good, you're accommodating the patient, you have great customer service. That is more than worth it to me to pay overtime. Now, if you want to minimize overtime, one thing I do in my office is I don't schedule 8 hours. I schedule 7.5 hours That way, every team member has 15 minutes in the morning to get set up, and they have 15 minutes at the end of the day to clean up. So on that schedule, there's very minimal overtime.
Yeah.
And another thing you should consider is if you do ask a team member to work overtime, make sure they understand the limit on the overtime, that it might be 1 hour for this special patient. Now, I have a true life case study in my book. It happened to a friend of mine. And it is the case study of the overtime queen. So what happened in this scenario is my friend was asked by his receptionist or front desk financial coordinator, can I stay late to bill insurance? And figuring that she was going to stay for maybe one more hour, he said, oh, sure, definitely. Let's get caught up on that insurance, definitely. So what this person did for an entire month was she clocked out every night at 11 p.m. And when he got to the end of the month and he looked at the payroll, he looked at it and said, my goodness, you have $1,200 of overtime. He said, this is unacceptable. Like, and he got so upset that he actually ended up dismissing the team member. Obviously, she was taking advantage of him and he dismissed her. Well, she went right down to the EDD office. She said she was dismissed for no reason, whatever. And then he got an audit of all of his records for the last 2 years to look at every single assistant. Did every single assistant have any outstanding overtime?
So what happened? And,
well, he had to pay whatever they found. I don't know what they found, but the chief complaint was that he had to pay her for fraudulent overtime. I doubt very much she was there every night till 11, yeah. But he had no limit on the overtime. So you can have a sheet. Like if someone asks you, can I stay late to bill insurance? You can actually print up a sheet and you sign it and the person signs it. I authorize you to 1 hour of overtime or 2 hours of overtime to bill insurance. They sign it. You sign it. There's no misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. That is great. There's a lot to know here. Anything else we need to know?
Well, I'll tell you one other thing that's extremely dangerous. And when I wrote my HR book, I had Art Curley, the attorney for TDIC, Dental Insurance Malpractice Insurance Company, proofread the book because I wanted it to be legally sound. And there was one thing that he really flipped out over, and that was the word happy hour. So I took the word happy hour out of my book. I meant it in a very positive way that once a quarter, I like to take my team out for lunch or a team gathering to build trust and to celebrate our victories. But I cannot call it a happy hour. I must call it a team gathering because the term happy hour implies alcoholic beverage consumption. Mm-hmm. And that is the most dangerous position that an employer can be in. Let me tell you the story. It's a true life story of the biggest HR lawsuit in the history of HR. There was a Christmas party and everyone went to the Christmas party. It was given by a big corporation and people were drinking. And someone left the Christmas party and heaven forbid, they got in an accident and they killed someone. The corporation was found guilty of that situation. Let's call it a crime, okay? and they paid a huge penalty. So how can you, as a dentist, avoid that very, very bad situation in your office? If you are going to have a Christmas party, print an invitation. Write on the invitation, you're invited to the annual holiday party. It's from 6 to 8 p.m. at such and such a restaurant. Okay, everybody shows up. Maybe you offer one glass of champagne, one glass, right? Because you're not going to encourage bad behaviors. Mm-hmm. When it gets to 8 o'clock, you're going to say, the party is now officially over. You are on your own and you're going to leave the party. And in that way, you are not responsible for whatever happens, should anything happen, which hopefully it doesn't. But you are no longer in the employment situation where you would be responsible.
Yeah. And there's a couple nuances to that. Number one, it's got to be a written invitation. Number two, I think something happened with that where the employee, unfortunately, that killed somebody else, they actually went home. Didn't they?
Yes, that is correct. I heard that. But nonetheless, it still went in faith. You know, the guilty went toward the corporation. Yeah. So don't ever use that word, happy hour.
Yeah.
And be judgmental about how you have a party and what you serve at the party. Yeah. Let me see if there's anything else. We went over HR management of the lunch break and the overtime. Okay, distribution of resources. The reviews. One thing that I think is extremely helpful with the reviews is to do 360-degree reviews. Because as the employer, you do not know as much about the teamwork of that person as everyone on the team knows about the teamwork of that person. So when I do my reviews, I like to give out a questionnaire, an anonymous questionnaire. What does this one person do best? And what could this one person improve? And I also give myself a review. I give myself a leadership review. And I have my team review me as the leader. What could I improve? And I think that those reviews are extremely, extremely helpful. And I also have the people do self-reviews also. And I'm surprised. People are usually harder on themselves than other people are on them.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's really, really important on a regular basis to get multiple perspectives. So it's just not coming from the doctor. And there.
Now, there's one new law that came out, I think, because of COVID. And that is the Family Medical Leave Act has been changed a little bit. It used to be that on leave, you had 120 days of medical leave. But now it's been changed a little bit that within a 12-month period, you can take that medical leave however you would like. So you could take a month now, you could take a month 3 months from now, you could take another month 6 months from now, and you could take another month 11 months from now. So that makes it a little bit harder for employers because it used to be if you took your medical leave, you took it all at once, but now you can break it up.
Yeah, that's good to know. Really good to know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is just one of those components that's non-negotiable. It's necessary. You have to have it. Amory, like other than reaching out to you, you have a great book, a great resource. What are some other resources that are available for dentists? Because this is just a lot to think about.
Well, I think my book is excellent because it really tells you everything you need to know in the running of a dental practice. I've read about every HR book out there. I read one book. It was excellent. I don't want to say the name of it because HR books are extremely dry.
Right.
And the thing that I tried to do in my book was I tried to personalize it with true life stories that the dentist can, they can understand that, because everyone has experienced the same things. I want the dentist to know that HR is probably the hardest thing you'll ever face. It's probably the thing that gets you down the most. And you're not alone. Everybody feels the same way. And everyone goes through the same thing. And I think one thing that maybe makes me unique is that I'm a woman and women talk a lot. So talking to all my colleagues that are women dentists and discussing with them, listen to what happened to me. 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 I have a lot of stories. You know, I think men tend to keep it in and they don't discuss their problems, but a woman dentist, you know, you have a problem with an employee, poor attendance. I mean, that person can barely make it down the street without you picking up the phone to your girlfriend saying, can you believe so-and-so didn't show up again? And can you believe she came in at 4:30, checked back in with a new hairdo and a fresh manicure when she was supposed to be in my office answering the phone, right? A woman dentist will say that to another woman dentist. But yeah. A man dentist, you know, it's another interesting thing, Kirk. Women dentists always call for a reference, always without fail. I have found that male dentists do not call for references.
Why do you think that is? I'm just curious.
I have no idea. And especially when you have an embezzlement situation. I worked in a group practice once and they had an embezzlement situation. And the embezzler quit and she went to another dental office. And the dental office called for a reference. And the office said, we would not rehire this person. They said, under no circumstance would we ever rehire this person. They called back a second time. Would you rehire this person? They said a second time, under no circumstances ever would we rehire this person. And do you know that that dental office ended up hiring that person?
That's crazy.
It's crazy. And you've got to go, you've got to listen to those references.
Yeah. And embezzler never quits their job. They just change practices.
That's right. That's right. And in fact, it was a very interesting situation because they called in the district attorney to investigate this case. And that person actually had two prior convictions. And this was her third offense. And now she's going on to her fourth dental office.
It's crazy. So you gotta be extra careful.
Yeah. I'm going to end with a story. And I tell this story in my book and it kind of summarizes for me HR in a way. I say to myself, why do dentists make these decisions that are poor HR decisions? Is it that we're too nice? Is it that we've been in the ivory tower for too long? Or is it that we're too focused on the teeth? Okay. And you need to realize that when you open your office for an employment opportunity, you are getting every facet of society applying for your job in the office. And it is your job on a very quick, say 1 month interview process to try to determine what type of candidate you are interviewing and which one you are going to select.
Right.
And I think it's best summed up by this story, which is the Aesop fable of the frog and the scorpion. And I always use this analogy to say that the frog is the dentist. Mr. Nice Guy, Mrs. Nice Guy, And the scorpion comes up to the frog and says, "Brother, can I have a ride across the pond on your back?" And the scorpion is the potential new hire that you know nothing about them. And you're trying to make a decision. Is it safe to hire this person? Now, the frog says, "Why would I give you a ride across the pond? You have a deadly stinger and you could sting me and we will both die," right? Mm-hmm. It's like the person who has a resume where they've worked 2 years here, 2 years here, 2 years here, 2 years here, 2 years here. There's something wrong there, right? That's the scorpion. So the scorpion is very polished, very, very sweet. And they say, "Oh, I would never do that. I would, that makes no sense whatsoever. I would never do something so foolish. And I really like you. I really want to work in your dental office. It's my dream to work in your dental office," right? They use flattery. And then the frog starts to say, "Oh, I guess I kind of like you. And yeah, I'm different. You're right. I'm different. Yeah, it really makes no sense why you would sting me with your deadly stinger while I take you across the pond," which the pond is your dental office place of employment. So you say, "Okay, I'll give you a ride across the pond." So the frog takes the scorpion on his back. They go across the pond. They get to the center of the pond and the scorpion stings the frog. And the frog says, "Now, why did you do that?" And the scorpion says, "Because it's in my nature." And if someone has a dysfunctional behavior in their nature, whatever it is, if they're an embezzler, a liar, a cheater, whatever that dysfunctional behavior is, you're not going to change it. And you need to protect your team. You need to protect yourself. That is your most important job. So take your time when you make a new hire and question things and look into things and make a smart decision. Yeah. And don't rush it. Don't rush it.
Very well said, Emery. I do want people to find out more about your books. Your books are so well written. So where do I go? How do I find them?
Well, okay, so this is the HR book. It's called Beyond the Morning Huddle. It's been out since 2015, and I have to say that is my number one book out of my four books. Even though no one wants to talk about HR, people don't mind reading about HR. And I really hope that my book helps a lot of people. I hope it gives them insight into how they can handle difficult situations. And I especially hope that it makes them realize they are not alone. Right. Everyone is in the same work environment. The big HR topic right now is people don't want to work. I had an HR professional in my office last week. She works at a major hospital. I said, "How's it going in HR?" And she said, "Nobody wants to work these days. You know, they've been out on COVID. Maybe they've been getting unemployment. And it's hard to get people to come back to work." So, you know, HR is with us. It never changes. It's human nature. And we're trying to make the best decisions that we can to have the best team that we can and employ the best people that we can to have a winning team.
Amen, sister. And I'm so excited to have you on my team because I learned so much from you again and again and again. So thank you so much for being on. I really appreciate it. We're going to put a link down in the show notes. So if you're listening, just swipe up to the show notes. You're going to see, you'll find more information on Emery's amazing books and resources. So make sure you check them out. And so Emery, thanks for being with me today. Really appreciate it. And stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show. If you enjoyed today, which I know you did, just do us a favor, hit the share button, share it with your friends. Keep sending us suggestions for things that you guys want to see, and I will line them up, whether it be from Dr. Gorska or whoever. You'll see we've got a great lineup even ahead. So until we see you guys next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. There you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.